So if you have your Bibles tonight, let's go ahead and get and turn to the New Testament, to the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7, verses 36 through 50 is where we will be studying tonight. This will somewhat have some similarities to last week, last Sunday night. Excuse me. You know that we talked about the widow's offering, and we talked about how she didn't have much, just a literally few pennies, but she gave all that she had. And the Lord Jesus said, because she had given out of her poor spirit and out of her poverty, even though she didn't have anything at all, that she gave it with all of her heart. And we said that it's not about the size of the contribution, and it's not about all these exterior and external things that makes our offerings pleasing unto the Lord, but it's a matter of our heart, as we've been saying. And so we see another example of this tonight in Luke chapter 7. And this is a picture of the sinful woman who come and washed our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ's feet. And there's a verse here, somewhere down about verse 47 is kind of the main focus of tonight's passage. And the idea or the title of this message is Forgiven Little Loves Little. Those who are forgiven little love little is the theme of this passage and what we'll be studying tonight. So if you have made it there in Luke chapter 7, beginning in verse 36, one of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. And behold, a woman of the city, who was a sinner, when she learned that he was reclining at table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of ointment. And standing behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears, and wiped them with the hair of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what sort of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner." And Jesus answering said to him, "Simon, I have something to say to you." And he answered, "Say it, teacher." "A certain moneylender had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. When they could not pay, he canceled the debt of both. Now which of them will love him more?" Simon answered, "The one, I suppose, for whom he canceled the larger debt." And he said to him, "You have judged rightly." Then turning toward the woman, he said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore, I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But he who is forgiven little loves little." And he said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." Then those who were at table with him began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" Let's go to the Lord in prayer tonight. Dear Lord, we thank you again for another opportunity to come into your house, and God, just to gather together with our brothers and sisters. And God, we just pray tonight that as we take this time again to worship with you in the teaching, in the preaching, in the studying of your word, God, we ask that your Holy Spirit would fellowship with our hearts, and God, that we will say it's been pleasant to be in the house of the Lord tonight. It's in the name of Jesus I ask these things. Amen. So tonight, as we continue to think about this idea of worship and what is proper worship and how worship is of the heart and not just of the body and the exterior, in this particular passage, I want us to look at a few things. And first thing on the list is I want us to see the debtors, the ones who owed something that they could not pay. There's actually two sets here. First off, we see the story, the two debtors that is used in the illustration that Jesus said. Not much is known about them, but we know that from the parable of the story that what? That they had a debt that they could not pay. And then further on, as we see in this, there seems to be a correlation to to other debtors, the ones who are on the scene, the ones who Jesus is addressing. See, the first is the Pharisee. He would have been known for his religious, prestigious, moral values. We've discussed them time and again. Paul was a Pharisee. Pharisees were very religious. They were very legalistic, meaning that they thought they had to keep every little dot and every little crossing of the law, and they would memorize and learn great portions of Scripture, and man, they would do everything just like God had asked them to do, and they prided themselves in their moral righteousness and their activities. And so you have this man who's invited Jesus over to his house, and he has invited him to come in, and then on the scene comes this woman, this other debtor, so to speak. We don't know much about her, but she is identified as what? A woman of the city. And it seems as though she's the sort of woman that probably wouldn't be welcome in this type setting. Now, we have to read between the lines a little bit, but I think we can understand that she didn't have a good reputation. She may have been much like the woman at the well in Samaria that we've studied with recently. She may have been known well amongst the young men in the area, and she was already, again, identified here as a woman that if Jesus knew who she was and what she did, there's no way he would be seen with her. That's the implication that the Pharisee gives. So we have these two people here on the scene, a sinner known by her actions, and a supposed religious leader known by his actions as well for the opposite. He was known as one who was very moral, one who was to look up to. Man, if you wanted to be like somebody, you'd want to be like that Pharisee. And then yet there's the woman who no one would want to be caught looking like her. They would be ashamed. So we see the debtors. Now let's look at the debt in the story here. One is identified as having much more debt than the other. In the parable, Jesus said there were the two debtors, and verse 41 said what? One owed 500 denarii. 500 denarii. That would be approximately almost 2 years worth of wages. So we can think about that in today's term. Let's just say we've taken out a loan, and man, the interest is beginning to catch up, and we've accumulated more than 2 years worth of our wages. Meaning if we saved every penny we made for 2 years, that's what it would take to pay off this debt. And then there was the other individual in the story who didn't have as much debt, much less debt. Only 50 denarii. You see, that would only be just a couple of months worth of wages. That would probably be a little bit more manageable, would it not? I mean, you know, if we had to choose, we would say, I'd just rather take a few months being behind than 2 years. So we have this illustration here of these people who owed money, who owed a debt that they could not pay. And you see that in the story, we also have this same type of picture on the scene here is what? You have one who appeared to have more debt than the other. Surely if there's any woman, if there's anyone who is in a worse position or needs to be given forgiven more for their sins, it'd have to be the woman, surely, huh? And she's probably a woman of the night, so to speak. She's one who is notorious in the area. Boy, her debt's really bad. It's really large. Then the Pharisee, we think, sure, he's done a few wrong things, but he's not in near bad a shape as that sinful woman. But let's notice how the story progresses. Let's look at the deliverance of the situation. In the story, we see that Jesus said, well, when they could not pay, what? That the moneylender, he canceled the debt of both. See, both debts were paid, were they not? The one who owed much, the one who supposedly owed little. Same thing happened in the scenario with the Pharisee and the sinful woman. If we're looking forward in the plan of redemption, are we not? Both debts were paid. But I think that maybe the idea of each and who had more and who had less might have been a little flip-flopped, so to speak. So what's the difference? What's the difference? I meant both debts were canceled. They were paid. It was taken care of. Well, you see, there was a difference in the response, was it not? Jesus said in the illustration that the one with greater debt was the one who would rejoice even greater. Even the Pharisee, Simon himself, said, oh yes, if one was going to be more thankful, surely it would be the one who had the greater debt canceled. You see, in the story, the Pharisee really doesn't see himself in that bad of a position. He doesn't see himself as having a great debt. And as Jesus said, and that's why he was not as thankful as this poor sinner, sinful woman that knew her debt and knew that it was far greater than anything that she could ever pay. And how did she respond to the Savior? You have the Pharisee. I almost picture him in this scenario. You have the Pharisee. I mean, he's the man of the house. He's the one who's invited him over. He said, you know, come dine with me. And he probably laid out the red carpet, so to speak, for Jesus. And he brought him into his house and doing all these things. But yet, what did Jesus say? Pharisee says, Jesus, how do you let this woman touch you? And Jesus said, what? When I came in, that you had no water for my feet. You see, it was customary, as we studied one time, as Jesus washing his disciples' feet, it was customary to do that. They didn't have well-covered shoes like we do today. And so as they traveled, their feet would be dirty. And one of the things that they'd do, typically it was the lowest position in the household. The slave would be the one who would come and wash the feet of the guest. And he's saying, Jesus is saying, but you see, you didn't have any water for my feet. It's the idea that he wasn't appreciated. He wasn't thought of as special. It wasn't a special occasion necessarily to the Pharisee. But what did the woman do? This sinful woman, this woman who had really nothing to offer. See, she comes and she has wet his feet with tears. And as if that weren't bad enough, that she used her hair as a towel to begin to wash. See, she has broken herself at the feet of the Savior. She has brought herself to a place of humility to where she is utterly hopeless. And she has heard that this man has come, this man who has done these wonderful things, and she pours out her heart, and not only her heart, but she empties probably the only treasure that she has. Said that she had an alabaster flask of ointment. This would have probably been some type of spice or very expensive perfume, so to speak. May have been the only possession that she had. Did that sound familiar? Sounds much like the little widow lady at the temple who gave all that she had. And this is that, getting at that heart of what I've been wanting us to think about. You see that it's not, again, about the value and the quantities, and it's not about the rituals. It's not the fact that she washed his feet and that the Pharisee denied it. You know, is the foot washing special? Yes, there's an intimacy there. There's something that shows this woman coming and bowing down and worshiping at Jesus' feet. Yes, but it's the humbleness. It's the heart. It's this person who's coming, who's giving everything of themselves over to Jesus Christ. But the Pharisee did not do that. The Pharisee was caught up in his ritualistic ways, in the things that he was doing, in the things that he prided himself in. But all she had to do was come and wash his feet. He said, you didn't anoint my head with oil, but she's anointing my feet with ointment. And so we see here that deliverance. We see here the heart that comes after the Lord is blessed by Him. In verse 47, therefore I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For why? For she loved much. And as I said, verse 47 is really the key to all of this. It's the key to worship. It's the key to the Christian life, to the Christian perspective. But he who is forgiven little loves little. What is Jesus saying there in that passage? He's saying to you and I today that when we forget who we are apart from Christ. When we forget that we were just as this sinful woman, broke, destitute, hopeless, without anyone there to pay our debt. We had accumulated so much. There was an impossible way that we would be able to cleanse ourselves, to forgive ourselves. There was no way we could ever work enough. We didn't have enough money. We didn't have enough works. And what Jesus is saying, when we realize that, when we realize the ultimate price that's been paid, when we see ourselves as this broke, sinful woman, and many of us may feel as though we're the Pharisee. We're the one who's religious. So, I mean, well, at least we go to church. There's so many who's not here. They just stay at home. So, I mean, that's got to be more pleasing unto God. At least I'm just coming. But as we've been saying, if we're coming without love, if we're coming without thankfulness, without a thanksgiving heart, the heart that is pouring out to God, thanking Him for the blessings, then we might as well stay at home, because what are we doing? We're just going through the motions if we just come up here and sing a few songs and go home and then live like we want to live and talk like we want to talk and do what we want to do. The one who grasps and understands God's grace, the one who understands that we were bound for hell, we were bound for condemnation, we were on a one-way track and we was headed there pretty fast. And we read about tragedies, and we read about deaths, and we read about, you know, again, these things that happen in just a moment. And we think, why did the Lord allow me to get to the place to where I'll come unto Him, and where I heard the gospel, and when I profess faith in Jesus Christ, and I have that opportunity? Man, aren't you thankful for God's grace? That there was a time and a place when His mercy was poured upon us, and we were be able to become partakers of the divine nature of God that is offered through faith in Jesus Christ. For us to be what we are to be as worshipers of Christ, we need to understand that we had a debt much greater than this 2 years' wages. And it was a debt that couldn't be paid with money or with gold or with silver. No. It was paid with precious blood that cleanses and purifies our hearts. Amen. And in verse 48, He said to her, speaking to the woman, "Your sins are forgiven." And those who were at the table with Him began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" You see, just a little illustration about Jesus Christ. Why was He crucified? Because He said that He was God's Son, that He was able to forgive sin. And they understood that what Jesus is saying, well, He thinks He's God. Who is He to say that He can forgive this woman? In verse 49, 50 after that, you see, they were upset. This was what would eventually lead to the crucifixion of Christ. You know, Jesus didn't come preaching a message of peace. He wasn't just a peaceful man from Galilee. No, He came proclaiming truth, and that truth condemned the very ones who it was meant to convict, and they killed Christ because of that. Verse 15, He said to the woman, "Your ointment has saved you. Go in peace. Your washing of my feet, your ritual, this thing that you've done a great thing. Because you have done this, now you go in peace." No, what did He say? He said, "Your faith. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." In church tonight, that is at the very heart. As I've said, it's about our spirit. It's about who we are. It's not about what we do. It's about our purpose, our driving factor. Why are we coming here again and again and again and again? Are we coming to be seen? Are we coming to put on a show? Or are we coming because we're like this woman who had this tremendous amount of debt that she could not pay, and it was forgiven? And because we've been forgiven much, that we love much, and we come unto Him and pour our hearts out unto Him. That's my prayer. That us as Good Pine would be known as a church that loves much. Why? Because Jesus Christ first loved us. Amen. So may it never be said of you and I, that's somebody who loves little. Amen. I mean, if I'm going to be proclaimed or titled something. I don't want to be a grumpy grouch. I don't want to be a believer who's drug into heaven by the grit of my teeth, you know, just tromping and mully grubbing all the way. But no, I want people to see me and to see joy and to see happiness and to see gratitude and to see thankfulness because I've been forgiven of my debt. So we that have been forgiven much, let's result and hope to see that it produces a people who loves much and worships much from the heart. Amen. Let's have a word of prayer and we will have a hymn tonight. Dear Lord, we do thank you for this day. And God, we thank you for this illustration. We thank you for this picture of grace. And God, many times we see ourselves as Christians, dear Father, those who are a little bit better, God, than others. Lord, we see people who curse you and God, who have nothing to do with you. And if we're not careful, we look down on them and think how silly they are. But dear Father God, apart from you, we were in the same condition. Our debt had reached a price that we could never pay. But God, we thank you for the ransom of Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you for your grace and your love that went to the cross. And Lord, it took all of our sins, all of our imperfections, and it nailed them to the tree, dear Father, never to be remembered again. And I thank you for that. Tonight, Lord, I pray for our church. And God, I just pray that in this new year that you'd be working and moving in our hearts, dear Father. God, that when we come into this place, that Lord, that we pour ourselves out to you, realizing all that you've done. And God, that we would also pour ourselves out into others and into the community. And Lord, that the love that we share with one another for you would overflow to those around us. And God, that they would see there's something different. These are a people, dear God, who are thankful. God, who worship you, not because we have to or because we made to, because we want to, dear Father. Lord, that you are our satisfaction, that you are all that we desire. And Lord, that is my prayer tonight. I ask that you be with us, dear Father, in this week. God, as some go to work and to travel and what all may be going on, Lord, I pray, God, that your hand would guide us, that you would lead us. Bring us back here this Wednesday night as we come to study more about you. It's in the name of Jesus that we ask these things. Amen.